Hello, everyone. Welcome to your weekly tech update, the show that explores the newest, coolest, and sometimes mind-boggling side of tech available on the interwebs. I am your gadget guru, Ray McNeil. Coming up on the program today, TCL's new foldable and rollable concepts. Imagine a wild future of phones. A robot learns to set the dinner table by watching humans. And happening in this week's What The, some of the chaos and humor coming out of the coronavirus pandemic. That and a whole lot more coming up on today's edition of your weekly tech update, next. Hi everyone. The first wave of foldable devices are here, and honestly, they've tended to be a bit disappointing. But even as hardware companies are still trying to get flexible displays right, TCL is already looking ahead with a pair of foldable and rollable prototypes that imagines what the future of phones could look like. TCL had two new prototypes to show off, a tri-fold device that can unfold from a 6.65 inch phone into a full-fledged 10 inch tablet. That's awesome. And a very early concept too for its sliding rollable phone that leaked back in February, which wasn't actually a functional device back then, but rather a dummy unit complete with a paper screen. Now, apparently, at least it has that true rollable screen attached to it. TCL actually showed off the trifold tablet slash phone at CES, but it wasn't a functional device back then. It turns on, and it has a working foldable screen that runs Android at the very least. It's still very much a proof of concept device, but with a working unit, you can start to get some ideas of what those concepts are. Unlike the Galaxy Fold or the Huawei Mate X, the Trifold is arguably the first model that highlights the initial promise of a foldable device. It turns a phone into a tablet, not just a wider phone. Fully unfolded, the Trifold has a 10-inch screen bigger than a full-size 9.7-inch iPad. According to people that got their hands on it, the unit was incredibly heavy for a phone, thanks to the big metal hinges and the three separate batteries it needs to power all of the display space. Though the tablet is thin when fully unfolded, the phone mode is super thick. It's basically three phones stacked on top of each other. From head on, it might have the same dimensions of a regular phone that you can fit into your pocket. From the side, though, it's tough to imagine actually carrying this thing around like a normal phone. That's all before you worry about things like software, which is basically non-existent on the current concept device. Now, having the hardware to transition between phones and tablets is a good start, but you'll need compelling apps to actually use on a device like this, which can easily switch between the three different sizes of display, something that Android in particular has struggled with so far, especially when it comes to tablets. Google is supposedly working on making Android better suited to devices like this, however, but it does have a long way to go before it's ready for prime time. And then there's still the major issues that have plagued every foldable device so far: durability, and of course, the price point. The Trifold feels really fragile to use, and adding a second hinge means that there's now twice as many points for potential failure. There's also the question of price. If current foldable phones are already crossing the $1,500 mark, just imagine how much a trifold phone might cost. TCL's other concept device, the rollable sliding mock-up, is allegedly meant to help solve some of those issues. But if the trifold is an early proof of concept prototype, then the sliding phone is even less real. The unit that was handed out was a non-functional dummy unit with a paper screen. Although TCL did have a video of a proper motorized model that it says it has working in a lab in Japan. Here's how it's supposed to work. A flexible display curves around the side of the device, with the back half of the screen hidden inside the phone. Press a button and motors on the inside slide the phone open, unrolling the back half of the screen so that you can have a larger display. Is it a good idea? Well, who knows? But at least it's not folding the display, so it might last a bit longer. It avoids some of the issues of current foldables, like easily breakable hinges as well, and of course those creased displays. But it'll almost certainly have big issues of its own too. How do you deal with a display that now needs to be flexible across a wide area and not just a single folding point? What's stopping dirt or debris from getting inside the phone where the screen slides out and damaging the mechanism? But again, neither of these devices are meant to be actual products at this point. TCL isn't saying when or even if you'll be able to buy either of these phones, nor is it clear that even if TCL does make foldable products down the line, they'll look anything like these prototypes. The company says that it'll be experimenting with dozens of different form factors. We've already seen another design for a more traditional book-style fold at CES, but phones have basically looked the same for over a decade now. Black boxes with touch screens. Devices like the Tri-Fold or the Sliding Concept, even if they're not yet here, show off what the future of phones might look like. And while the challenges to making these phones are unquestionably real, it's still exciting to see that we're getting closer to a world where they may soon be a reality. The only known Nintendo PlayStation console in existence is changing hands. Bidding for the legendary prototype concluded recently when someone placed a $300,000 bid. With the buyer's premium, the person who won the auction will pay $360,000 to own a piece of gaming history. As with any high-profile auction, the device was expected to attract big bids. And for a time, it did. At one point in the bidding process, even Oculus founder Palmer Luckey took part. However, it's probably fair to say that its outgoing owners were hoping for a better outcome, even if the auction set the record for the most expensive piece of gaming memorabilia ever sold. It's believed the device represents Sony's first attempt at creating its own gaming hardware. It adds a built-in CD-ROM to the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Had Sony and Nintendo continued their partnership, the console would have allowed the SNES to play CD games. After a falling out with Nintendo, however, Sony went on to release the original Sony PlayStation. And the rest, as they say, is history. In fact, without this collaboration and disagreement, the VR landscape of today could look much, much different. SpaceX successfully launched its Falcon 9 rocket on the company's 20th cargo mission recently to the International Space Station, sending more than 4,500 pounds of supplies and science experiments to the three crew members living in orbit. Following takeoff, SpaceX then landed its Falcon 9 on a landing pad in Florida. That was the 50th overall rocket landing for the company. I remember when I first saw it, and still every time I see it, it looks like 1950s sci-fi. While it was a fairly routine launch for the company, it was also a significant one. The final resupply mission for NASA under SpaceX's original contract with the space agency. That doesn't mean SpaceX will be done launching supplies to the ISS, though. In 2016, NASA awarded SpaceX a second contract to continue launching cargo missions to the station throughout 2024. And once this new round of launches begins, SpaceX's hardware will get an upgrade too. The company has long used its Dragon 1 cargo capsule to carry all the supplies to the ISS, but now SpaceX will begin using its new Dragon 2 capsule. This new Dragon capsule is very similar to the one that SpaceX will use to send people to the space station later this year. It's slightly bigger than its predecessor, able to carry about 20% more volume, and it can be reused up to 5 times in space. Each Dragon 1 spacecraft could only be used up to 3 times. Plus, it sports quite a few upgrades, including an entirely new parachute system. We learned a lot on the Dragon 1 spacecraft. That comes from the Vice President of Build and Flight Reliability at SpaceX. We put all the lessons learned basically in Dragon 2 as much as we could. Perhaps the biggest new feature of Dragon 2 is that it will be able to dock all on its own with the International Space Station. All of the previous Dragon cargo capsules had to have some help to get to the ISS. Each vehicle approached the station and an astronaut on board had to kind of capture the capsule with a robotic arm. The arm would then bring the Dragon closer to the ISS and attach it into a docking port. But from now on, both crew and cargo versions of the Dragon will be able to approach the station and dock by themselves, freeing up time for the astronauts on board the ISS. SpaceX is expected to fly this new Dragon capsule sometime in the fall. In the meantime, the final Dragon 1 launched last week, orbited Earth for a while, and met up with the International Space Station this morning. It's bringing various supplies and experiments, including a system to study organs on microchips. Dragon is also bringing a new European platform that will be attached on the outside of the ISS, allowing research institutions and companies to attach their own payloads on the exterior of the station. This Dragon will stay attached to the ISS for about a month before returning to Earth. When it leaves, it'll be loaded with up to 4,000 pounds of cargo to be returned to the ground. After the vehicle splashes down in the ocean, the era of Dragon 1 will be over. SpaceX says Dragon 1 had a great career and we're really proud at how it contributed to the important science aboard the ISS. In fact, SpaceX's Dragon made history in 2012 by becoming the first private vehicle to attach to the ISS ever. To date, teaching a robot to perform a task has usually involved either direct coding, trial and error testing, or hand-holding the machine. Soon, though, you might just have to perform the task like you would any other day. MIT scientists have developed a system planning with uncertain specifications, otherwise known as puns, that helps bots learn complicated tasks when they otherwise stumble, such as setting a dinner table. Instead of the usual method where the robot receives rewards for performing the right actions, puns has the bot hold beliefs over a variety of specifications and use a language they call linear temporal logic that lets it reason about what it has to do right now and in the future. To nudge the robot towards the right outcome, the team set criteria that helps the robot satisfy its overall beliefs. The criteria can satisfy the formulas with the highest probability, the greatest number of formulas, or even those with the least chance of failure. A designer could optimize a robot for safety if it's working with hazardous materials, for instance, or consistent quality if it's a factory model. MIT's system is much more effective than traditional approaches in early testing. A puns-based robot only made 6 mistakes in 20,000 attempts at setting the table. Even when the researchers threw in complications like hiding a fork, the automation just finishes the rest of the task and came back to the fork when it popped up. In that way, it demonstrated a human-like ability to set a clear overall goal and improvise. The developers ultimately want the system to not only learn by watching, but to react to feedback. You could give a verbal correction or a critique of its performance, for instance. That will involve much more work, but it hints at a future where your household robots could adapt to new duties by watching you set an example. That is absolutely fascinating. And back up to space we go for lettuce in space. Lettuce, as it turns out, is just as nutritious when grown in space as it is when it's grown here on terra firma, suggesting that astronauts could one day produce their own food on the ISS. Goya Massa and her colleagues at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida analyzed three batches of lettuce grown on the ISS between 2014 and 2016. The researchers compared the space veg to lettuce grown here on Earth under similar environmental conditions, controlling the relative humidity, carbon dioxide concentration, and temperature. By culturing the bacteria found on the lettuce and using DNA sequencing, they found that there were more microorganisms on the lettuce batches from the ISS than on those that were grown here on Earth. NASA says this was expected. Astronauts have their own microflora, and there are just things that live in the environment of space. On the other hand, the levels of nutrients between both types of lettuce was very similar. We were a little surprised by these results, as we thought the nutrients levels in the plants may accumulate differently in flight, says NASA. The researchers chose the red romaine lettuce for the experiment because its seeds germinate reliably and the astronauts would actually want to eat it. Most people don't hate lettuce, she says. According to NASA, the astronauts think the lettuce is delicious, and they have tried it with tacos and cheeseburgers on the space station. The researchers have now sent other seeds to the ISS to be grown, including kale and cabbage. I think plants are going to be very important for the crew diet in the future, and if we ever want to be Earth-independent, NASA says, well, it's going to be a necessity. Cyprian Versu at the University of Bremen, Germany, says there are plenty of challenges that need to be met before plants provide a sustainable food source for astronauts, such as a lack of sunlight and the different gravity and radiation levels in space. Houston-based private space company Axiom has forged a partnership with SpaceX to fly paying tourists to the ISS as soon as the second half of 2021. Now, according to the terms of their deal, SpaceX will use the Crew Dragon capsule to ferry three tourists and an Axiom staff member who will make sure they don't interfere with the NASA crew members doing their job to the orbiting lab. It's worth noting that Axiom was the company NASA chose to build the space station's first commercial destination module. Elon Musk's company originally developed the capsule to take astronauts to space from U.S. soil, and its first manned flight with NASA astronauts is expected to take place between April and June of this year. However, it also intends to expand the spacecraft's uses to include taking paying astronauts outside our planet. In fact, it signed another deal with Space Adventures in February to take tourists on a free-flying trip to orbit the Earth at 2 to 3 times the altitude of the ISS. The Axiom mission will last for 10 days, with 2 of those meant for traveling to and from the space station. Neither party has revealed how much a seat on the trip would cost. According to the New York Times, however, Axiom previously said that a seat would cost $55 million and that one person has already signed up. Also, when NASA announced that in 2019 it's opening up the station to private astronauts, it said it would get $35,000 a night for each person. So you're looking at a pretty penny to get yourself in orbit, but I would say it's well worth it. If you want a gaming phone that goes way overboard when it comes to specs, look no further. Xiaomi's sub-brand Black Shark just announced its new flagship, the Black Shark 3 Pro, and the specs are amazing. The Black Shark 3 Pro has a massive 7.1-inch 440p AMOLED display with a 90Hz refresh rate and a 270Hz touch sampling rate for extremely precise tracking. It's not the most modern of displays, though, as it has a fairly thick bezel, but it's still pretty amazing for what it's packing in it. The phone is powered by a Qualcomm Snapdragon 865 processor. It has 8 or 12 gigs of RAM, 256 gigs of storage, and a big dual-cell 5,000 milliamp hour battery with fast 65-watt charging. Inside, there are a few other features too that should help with those intense gaming sessions, including liquid cooling. That's right, liquid cooling in a phone, and even a special antenna layout, which should prevent signal loss at key moments. And yes, it's the first Black Shark phone with a 5G chip inside. The Black Shark 3 starts at 3,499 won. That's $502 US. You got scared there for a minute, didn't you? While the Black Shark 3 Pro version starts at about $675, both of them cheaper than the newest iPhone or Galaxy. The standard version is up for pre-order in China right now, while the Pro variant goes up for pre-order in China on March 10th. Both should be available globally very, very soon, though. And happening in this week's What the coronavirus. If you go over the news these days, everything is about the coronavirus. Not only is the virus spreading like the flu, it's also causing drama across the globe, disrupting supply and demand, and even canceling numerous events. It has even started to delay new tech and games. Then there is the mad rush by some to pack their garage with as many rolls of toilet paper, paper towels, rice, and water as possible, and of course the numerous jokes that have emerged online because of it. Due to the coronavirus, or the fear of infection, we'll say, many events have been canceled or postponed, including South by Southwest, Google's I.O. Developer Conference, Facebook's F8, and now the Minecraft Festival. It's postponed anyway, but the streaming event Minecraft Live will still go on as planned. Apple warned that iPhones and AirPods could be delayed. Facebook has also stopped taking new orders for its latest Oculus Quest VR headset, citing the outbreak for the delay. And Konami's TurboGrafx-16 Mini, I'm sorry to say, has been delayed due to the coronavirus as well. Tesla is also citing the virus for postponed Model 3 deliveries. Here on Phillip Island, aisles at the grocery store are bare of the essentials, and it's the same pretty much everywhere in the world. Social media shows bare toilet paper shelves from Costco's to IGA in Australia and all the way to the US. You can also see what some are choosing to do with their newfound toilet paper fortune. Many people are trying to find the humor in it, though, with many memes showing up online, showing a hose next to the toilet or a sprinkler in the toilet to make a kind of makeshift bidet. A newspaper in Australia even printed an extra 8 pages. That's right, they were blank with little cutout lines on it, so you can use that in an emergency if need be. Thanks for watching your weekly tech update. If you have a story you think we need to feature on the program, well, you need to send me an email, djraymcneil@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Tech Update and check out the podcast. Audio and video versions available on iTunes, Google, Spotify, Audio Burst, and elsewhere on the interwebs. Till next time, I'm Ray McNeil. Good night, world. Thank you.